This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Memorial Day started with many going to parades and visiting cemeteries, and of course there was a Memorial Day wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, as is the tradition in this country. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. I hope you had a chance to not only remember those who have given their life and what's happened in the past in our history, but to spend some time with family members or friends and get a chance to celebrate the day in a lot of different ways. It's been an interesting day, needless to say, in a lot of different areas. When we talk about the weather, when we talk about remembrances, like I said, picnics, parades, that kind of thing. I happened to watch last night what came out of Washington, D.C., a little bit of it, an incredible, I think, hour or two they had pulled together to honor so many from so many different wars who are still survivors, whether it was the Korean War, whether it was the Vietnam War, whatever war it happened to be. And I think that's so, so important to remember that on this day. You see the American flags and the pride just swells across the nation. There's no question about that. What else is happening, though, for some is the fear again of this flooding. And in looking at what the Weather Channel was talking about is, of course, the threat of record flooding in the central United States on high alert once again. Spring storms already have been pretty horrific. 5 deaths in Missouri, 1 in Iowa, 6 in Oklahoma. In Indiana, there was a 4-year-old boy who has been missing because strong currents, heavy rain swept him away. They're frantically still trying to search for him. According to some of the meteorologists that I've watched, they say 3.6 million to maybe close to 4 million are under a flash flood watch. And a severe thunderstorm certainly happened overnight on Sunday. The impacts, again, with the weather affects all of us in this region, the central part of the United States that I'm talking about, Oklahoma especially. They're still reeling from hail, winds, flash flooding in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me give you the lowdown there. I know some people are listening to us. The Army Corps of Engineers said it was increasing the release of water at the Keystone Dam because of the expectation of what was going to happen to leave it at the level through next week. So what did they release? 265,000 cubic feet per second. If you think about that, that is a staggering amount. So businesses, residents, all that along the Arkansas River, they're telling people to take precautions just based on what they know. And there's call for more rain actually later in the week. Some parts of Arkansas evacuated. Governor Hutchinson said early on a couple of days ago, a state of emergency is upon us because of the storms and the flooding that were starting. And why take a chance on that? Because they want to be able to get to that emergency money and to support the sandbagging. That's what you see. You see the rapid sandbagging efforts and trying to save some of the areas that are very, very low lying. And sure enough, so much of that struck. The Oklahoma tornado was terrible. 6 people dying in the flooding, the storms, the tornadoes. EF3 tornado touched down in a place called El Reno. That's about 29 miles west of Oklahoma City. And as we see so often, a mobile home park was just completely shredded after the twister hit land. And, you know, they got a small population there of about 19,000 people. So something to think about as you spend time with your loved ones. Another story, because I always say America Tonight or this show certainly is about what's popping across the country. There is conversation about sharks and fatal attacks. And we know that when we see Shark Week, always the question is, has there been any fatal attacks? Where are the sharks prevalent? And the relationship between man and shark. Well, a California man died on Saturday in Hawaii's first fatal shark attack since 2015. He was 65-year-old. He was swimming about 60 yards from the shore of Ka'anapali Beach Park, a place that I've talked about and actually broadcast from a hotel not far from there on Maui. This is where this happened when the shark attacked. And they say that the rescuers desperately tried to do what they could. They pulled him, who's unconscious, to shore. They saw some blood on his stomach, and then on the wrist and the skin, they could just see that the skin on his wrist was just completely torn off, and his entire leg from his knee down was missing. So this was a horrific, sad, sad attack. They haven't released his name yet. And they haven't talked about the species. It hasn't been confirmed. The last fatal attack, like I said, was in 2015, and I remember this one well, too. It was a snorkeler, off of Maui. And there have been a few other shark incidents, a tiger shark injuring a surfer and a couple of other things, you know. But in 2018, because statistically there is a place that keeps these statistics, the Florida Museum of Natural History's International Shark Attack File. They said there were 66 unprovoked shark attacks that were confirmed. But regardless of those statistics, and the statistics are crazy. I mean, people have a 1 in 3.7 million chance of dying from a shark attack in their lifetime, according to this museum in Florida, compared to a 1 in 84 chance of being involved in a fatal car accident. But, boy, sad when it happens, and certainly sad for this California man who they found and dragged to, dragged to shore, and that's unfortunately what happens sometimes, and it seems like Maui is the place because perhaps of where sharks are, you know, where they're circulating through, and we don't know the species of shark yet, but I think that maybe plays perhaps a part in it. I do the cheap movie reviews, and this is a big weekend for movies on the lighter side. And, of course, there was just the wrap of Game of Thrones, which had an incredible amount of people streaming Game of Thrones for HBO, a massive hit. But Aladdin has been a big hit at the box office. I don't think this is a surprise. This is a Disney remake. 207.1 million globally is what they say. It's crushing at the box office. And, of course, there are other movies that are out there, the teen comedy Booksmart, then there was the superhero horror movie mashup Brightburn is another one, but how about Aladdin? Did much better than expected. I'm not surprised by this. Again, we reviewed it because you think of families, young kids, grandkids, and the lore of Aladdin, and of course Aladdin, one of the stars in it is Will Smith. Naomi Scott's also part of this, and you've got the music, the story of that 1992 animated film. So it's a remake of that film and that story that is so, so popular, incredibly popular, and getting great A for most people who are going to see it. So sit back, relax here on this Memorial Day. Some of the best interviews recently that we've had here on America Tonight. We're going to introduce you to many of those people you might have missed.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Green Room is Priyam Vadavan, and she has written a book that I think is so powerful, and it really speaks to me because I understand the power of nature, and I didn't always feel that way. Her book is called Silent Teacher, so that's a hint about nature. Priyam, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
So the silent teachers, it's really what we see in nature, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and you know, my reason really is to send my message across that we can be connected to the universe through nature.
And how did you discover that you really felt there was a connection between the universe and nature? Because people, you know this, Priyam, people talk about it and other people say, oh, that's wooey and that does, I don't know what you mean. I go and walk in nature and I don't understand. So how do you explain that?
As a child, I went through a lot of pain to deal with, and I would to the point where I would mentally remove myself.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, this is the way I coped. And you know, there's one thing that humans have all have a common link, and that is we have all suffered. And to me, my suffering has brought me. It always brought me to a place of peace so that I can see things clearly. It's just a natural way of me dealing with childhood traumas.
That makes sense. And there's other people who deal with childhood traumas. What happened to you that allowed you to remove yourself mentally? What was it that was so tough to get over?
Okay. What would happen is that I had to deal with adult situations,
mm-hmm.
and what my father did was on the weekends, he would take us along the rivers in Trinidad, and we would just spend a day, and we would just walk and talk and in the water, and just being out there would help me to get like a foothold on what was real. You know, and to me, like, the pain was just a temporary thing. And what was real and solid was my love that I had in me, that I can give and share, and it would be a healing process for me to be in nature.
Wow, I love that analogy. I can visualize you, and I'm sure some of you listening think about that. You're a kid, you're at the water, you're it's sort of like letting go, isn't it? It's shedding a skin.
Yes.
And you talk about that. You talk about the analogy of a snake skin, and tell us about a snake skin and why that really kind of relates to what we're talking about with the silent teachers.
Okay. The snake skin is the analogy is that what we tend to do is bury our pain. And whenever we bury our pain, we cannot see the truth clearly. You know, sometimes we, people are afraid of dealing with their pain. And when you're afraid, then of course you don't want to touch that pain, and you keep burying it, and then slowly it becomes, turns into a disease. Because all the stress is in your life, and so I'm trying to show people a way of, you have to deal with it. You cannot just put it aside. We have to learn to walk beside our pain and use that pain to teach.
Ah, that's a tweetable moment. Walk beside our pain and use that moment to teach. That really sums it up. And I want to tell everyone, you can get Priyam's book on Amazon.com, Silent Teachers. And it's tough to do, right? But when you make the leap, you really can feel it.
Yeah, it takes courage to really look into yourself. And to me, the pain is there for a reason. The pain is there because one of the reasons that we are on Earth is to evolve, you see. And by dealing with our pain, it helps us to evolve and be stronger and see the truth of who we are and how we can help in this world.
I like it. If more people would take that time and they would go into nature, I think you're right, there would be that healing process. And I think it's fascinating what you did. Tell everybody how you put this book together, because you and I talked off the air and we talked about, so you understand what's happened to you. You're trying to say, hey, I got a road, I got a way that you can do this if you don't know. And here's the silent teachers. And so you grabbed a notebook, and then what'd you do?
Yeah, I started writing, and it's just ideas that came to me in a quiet moments and during the day, and I would just think, and I have a natural way of putting myself in other people's shoes, you see. And by doing that, I can see that if someone is angry at me and yelling or whatever, I would try to figure out why, you know. Or I wouldn't ask the person, but I would look behind the words.
Right, to figure out what was going on really, right?
Yes. Yeah, because usually the issue is not what's happening right now. The issue is speaking from pain or fear, you know?
Yeah, and so going into nature and being able to do that and look behind what people say to you, has this given you a lot of strength, and do you think this can give that to other people?
Yes, it has given me strength, and it has made me realize that there is something more powerful than me, and something that we can strive for, and answers we can get answers from nature.
I think so, too, because it forces us, right, in this world where we're so connected with our smartphones, it forces us to open up our mind. Maybe that's what it is.
Yes, yes, definitely. And it's a matter of living in the moment also, you know, when so that you can connect to nature. And when you connect to nature, then you connect to all living things, including each other.
Priyam, of all the places that you've walked through nature, and you mentioned Trinidad and the river, and the rivers, and I was visualizing that in my mind. People don't realize sometimes what a beautiful area that can be. But of every place that you've been in nature, what's the best walk you've ever taken? Do you know?
The best walk. My goodness, that's difficult to say, but the one that really stays with me today is when spending the day with my father in that river. And my thoughts would go back to that time and how my mind would center on love. And to me, that was the most real thing in my life. That no matter what was going on, I felt a deep love for my father, and I felt his love for me.
Yeah.
And because of that, it just stayed with me, you know, all through my life.
I love that, holding on to that memory but living in the present. What do you hope people take away from reading Silent Teachers?
I hope that they, too, will find their silent teachers, because it all depends on your experience in life and what are the moments that change the way you think. You know? And to me, this is that's when growth happens, when evolution occurs in your own being. It's when you look at your own situation, your own perceptions, because we all have our own perceptions of what is real and what is not real in life. And it's a journey we all have to go through.
So well said. A perfect place to end this. That's the journey that you go through. So pick up Silent Teachers. Priyam, thank you so much. You can get it on Amazon.com. Thanks for joining us on the show, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kate.
Wallpapers repeating patterns of an elk. That's what I'm at.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Your Majesty, the First Lady and I will never forget this gracious invitation. And we thank the people of Japan for their incredible hospitality and warm welcome in this majestic land.
President Trump wrapping up his four-day trip to Japan after meeting with the country's new emperor and spending time with the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Your Majesty, in the spirit of beautiful harmony, may we celebrate the many possibilities of this new era. May we remember our duties to past and future generations, and may we protect the cherished bond between America and Japan for our children.
Back in the U.S., taps at Arlington National Cemetery as Vice President Mike Pence addresses veterans and their families on Memorial Day.
This is the day that makes possible all other American days.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715. That's 1-800-370-2715.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contain no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Kate Delaney, and I am just thrilled to be here, really among the works of Seamus Heaney. And I think so many of you know who he is because I've talked about him on the air before when I've talked about my dad and poetry and what poetry has meant in my life. And I'm with his nephew, Brian McCormick. And Brian, we're seated in an area where you can see his works around us. And for you, what does that mean? What's that like?
It's obviously a very special experience. Seamus Heaney was synonymous with this area. Much of his work, in fact, over 50% of his work is based around approximately a 6-mile radius of where we're sitting today. So this area meant a great deal to him, and the people within this community meant a great deal to him. Also, his family members are still live here, his brothers and so on. So for me to be involved in a facility such as Home Place is an exceptionally emotional one, to be honest with you, but one that I take great pride in, obviously, to have someone such as Seamus Heaney within this community, and obviously I'm a family member as well. It's one that's extremely important to me, and one that I'm delighted to be involved with.
So as, you know, him, your relationship to him, him being your uncle, did you ever get to sit around and hear him recite his poetry? I mean, what was he like to be around?
Well, certainly in family occasions, he didn't recite his own poetry. I don't think that would have... He wouldn't have been that type of person to roll out his own work. He was much more interested in throwing out a few local limericks and so on about some of the characters within the area. But I didn't hear him read in an informal basis his own work. Now, I've obviously been to readings that he did, and to hear Seamus read his own work was a very, very powerful experience. And it's actually one of the main draws that we have within our exhibition, is that people can hear him read those works through our audio wands. And as people go around the exhibition, they have a chance to listen to the works related to each of the sections within that experience. And that's one that we have found people relating to most, to actually hear him read those works in a building dedicated to his life and his works, centred within the community that, as I said earlier, meant so much to him, is one that we have found a very emotional experience for people. We have regular laughs and tears. We actually joke here that tears are good for us, because it actually shows that people are really, really connecting with that amazing work. And I think that's the beauty of Seamus Heaney's work, is the fact that it is so accessible for everyone. People sometimes are under the impression that poetry can be quite highbrow and quite elitist, and it's something that we work very hard at here to ensure that that's not the case, that people from all walks of life and all interest levels can find a real deep connection with what we do.
I noticed that if you feel inspired and want to write a line or two, you can do that, and you also have a section for all the people listening to the show, where it's kind of a learning center, where you can, if you, like you say, there's this thing about being elitist, but it shows you, okay, this is what a poem is. This is how a poem can go. It can go this way or that way. And I think that's fascinating. So when the center was, I'll call it the center, when it was being laid out, was that one of the considerations? Let's make it so that people feel like they really understand poetry?
Yes, and that was very, very important for us. But we're also lucky that his work in itself allowed us a platform to do that, because that was one of the considerations that we had, that we always wanted the work to be at the core. Seamus Heaney himself was a man who didn't seek attention and didn't seek the limelight, but he wanted his work to speak for him, and that's something that we wanted to ensure was at the forefront of everything we did. But similarly, it was important for us to allow people an opportunity for that work to be broken down in a very approachable way. And as you've rightly said, we have a few walls here, the anatomy of a poem wall, and that shows people the different aspects that poets use to actually develop that work. Another very interesting aspect of the exhibition is we have a replica of his attic study in Dublin, where he did a lot of his writing in his Sandymount home. And upstairs we have the Harvest Bow poem, and that shows people right from the first draft to the final draft, the work the poets undertake to actually get to that final draft. I think any of us, and I'm certainly, unfortunately, not a writer myself, but we're under the impression that people sit down of a Sunday morning and decide of that morning, I'm going to write a poem. That shows the visitor here that Seamus Heaney took a lot of time and effort to cultivate that poem, to make changes, to make drafts, and it shows that the efforts that those writers go into to ensure that their final work is something that they're proud of to be published. But again, we do that hopefully in a way that people can relate to.
Another thing that you do here too as well is you get to see the Nobel Prize speech, which is fascinating and I think really draws people in. Do you remember when he won the Nobel Prize?
You've been really young. Yes.
Right?
I would have been in my early 20s, I think it was. And as I'm sure you saw in the video, he was in Greece on a holiday with his wife Mary, and at that stage it was pre-mobile phones, and he was very difficult to reach, and I think he was one of the last people to find out that he actually had won. But finally, when the message had got through to him that he had won the Nobel Prize, as he says on the video that you just mentioned, he made a concerted effort to contact family members to share that moment with him. And I was actually very fortunate that when he phoned my home house, I happened to be there, and I was the person that picked up the phone to him. There had been no one else at home. My mother, who was Seamus's sister, my mother happened not to be there, so I was the first person in my house to actually talk to him at that time. And that was obviously a very, very special moment for me, to try and indicate to him the excitement that we were all feeling at home. And it's one that, I have to be honest, it still sticks with me to this day, to say that I was able to share that phone call with him. So yes, I do remember that vividly. And then there was a party, needless to say, in Ireland. There was a party locally here for him, which I was fortunate enough to attend, and we all shared in that moment. And the video shows that in fact the whole of Ireland shared in that moment with him, because he truly was someone that the Irish people really, really connected with, and that was a moment for the whole country, as it were.
Which is how the man was, right?
Yes.
He's accessible, just as it's accessible to walk around here and feel like you know him. That's why you get the tears and the emotion, and
yes,
that's a really good thing. Do you have a favorite poem of his?
I suppose my favorite poem, and it's actually the one that he recites at the end of the Nobel video, would be the Clearances 3, that starts out with the first line, "When all the others were away at Mass, I was all hers as we peeled potatoes." That would be that's my favourite. I think the words in there are so evocative, and I'm sure we've all shared moments like that with our parents, and it brings you right back to that moment. And then he talks about, it moves on from that to when he shares final moments with his mother on her deathbed, and it's just, it paints pictures that I think that anybody would really, really connect with those words. So yeah, that would be my favorite.
That's lovely. In wrapping all of this up, though, as we bring it back to people listening and coming to Ireland, and I keep, as an Irish American, I keep telling people you really owe it to yourself to put it on your bucket list. And this is a great spot. It's beautiful areas, as you said. So much of this poetry was inspired in the 6-mile radius of this spot, so you could walk around and get that feeling, I think, that he had, and I think that would be special.
Yeah.
But when people come here and they leave, what do you hope they take away?
I suppose, first of all, we want them to take away an experience, and I think that's what we provide with people, a true, authentic experience. They have an opportunity to get a window into Irish life, and to do that via Seamus Heaney's poetry, as you said, a Nobel Prize winning poet, but one that everyone can relate to. And it gives people an insight into the importance of community to that man and the importance of this area. And we're actually developing, we hope to have them ready for next year, a series of literary trails where people can go out into those key spots where Heaney wrote about, such as Toner's Bog in the poem Digging, Church Island, the Forge at the Hill Head, the Eve Fishery at Tombs. So we're working on that at present to extend the reach of Home Place out into that beautiful landscape. But I suppose what we have found is that people find a real connection to this area when they do our exhibition and when they come into Home Place, and it's one that becomes a very personal experience, and it's one that I would encourage people to make the effort to come here, because I know, I understand I'm coming at it from a slightly biased position, but it's one that the reaction that we've had from visitors, and we've had visitors from all over the world, some 22 countries at this stage in the 2.5 years that we've been open, but one that people really, really connect with, and it becomes a very, very powerful and emotional experience, and it's one that I would certainly encourage your listeners to try to make time to come to visit us here in Ballaghy, South Derry.
Perfect place to end this. Brian McCormick, thank you so much.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You're going to really like this story, too, as well. Shalene Ramsahoy joins us, and she's written a really interesting book, and it's called, ready for this? I love the title, actually, A Wild Ride. And you have to think, picture in your mind Canada, picture raising a family, thinking of teenagers, thinking of pets, and thinking of some pretty interesting stories. So, Shalene, thank you so much for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the title, A Wild Ride, I really like that because it invokes a lot of different thoughts. How did you come up with that? If we start there, why a wild ride?
I'd have to say that in the whole writing process, coming up with titles is probably the most difficult thing for me. It's like you try to come up with something that represents the general story, but you're right, there's so many other little sidelines that you're trying to relate into the title. And, you know, when you're coming down to just a few words that catch people's attention, you know, what ones are going to be the most meaningful? And I think I just went with what is the most straightforward that, you know, kind of sounds cool when it rolls off the tongue and
yeah,
still gets you where you want to go.
What was it that made you want to write the book? Why'd you write the book?
I have always wanted to write. I have always had an interest in fiction and even nonfiction. I like writing a little bit of that too, but fiction really is my favorite. Even when I was a young kid, I would take little stories I had written and hand them to my teacher and get them edited and come back and write more things about it and do more ideas and things like that. And I kind of shelved it for a while and left it alone. But then, you know, it's like you want to really get at it and you want to try something new. So I thought, let's do it. There's, you know, it doesn't happen unless you get out there and try. So I really wanted to write a novel.
Yeah. And you did, and you pulled it together. And, you know, you have professionally, you've been a speech language pathologist, right? You and I talked about that. You've done that for decades. That in itself is interesting, and you talk about that. What's the most difficult thing, but the most exciting thing about doing that for a career?
I love being a speech therapist. When I originally started off on this profession, I thought I wanted to work with adults who'd had strokes and other adult neurogenic disorders, but I somehow just fell into it being a rural person living in a rural area with a huge geographical distance to cover to see all the patients that were technically belonging to me. I fell in with kids, and I never thought that's what I wanted to work with when I started, but working with children had led me to really embrace a bunch of things, including, of course, children's books. And they are some of the most amazingly written pieces of literature in the whole world. They're so funny and they're so clever. It's kind of like that title. They're less words, but more meaningful. All of that information and things to catch people's attention is condensed into these less words and these beautiful pictures and beautiful ideas. And I thought, well, there's so many of those nice ones. And I wondered, you know, it's easy for adults and professionals like myself to use those kind of books very well with your kids, but what happens when they get older? You know, does that love of writing and reading and those kinds of things stay with them? Or is there some way that you can write in that genre for young adults or teens that can also keep them inspired? So I chose the teen novel.
That's right. You chose the teen novel. So when you set about doing that, like language-wise, et cetera, were you paying more attention to the kids and how they were phrasing things?
A lot.
How do you nail that?
A lot. How I got trying to narrow that down and trying to focus on that particular genre is I did take a fiction writing course through the Institute of Children's Literature, and I had a lovely editor there who worked me through the actual assignments for that class. And one of them is to go out and sit in public and watch people. That's one of my favorite things to do as a speech therapist anyways, because I'm always looking at how people communicate. But when you sit in public and you watch people go by, you listen to how they talk, and you listen to the things that interest them, and you listen to how they say it, and how much they say, or how little they say, or how much body language goes into it. And so when you actually just sit back and watch, you get the notion of, well, I need to change a few things about the way I would write it, as, or the way I talk, or in my voice. You need to do a little bit of work to go, that's not kind of how it would be said. And it kind of helps having, well, at the time when I wrote this, I didn't have teenagers. I have teenagers now, but I go back and I check with them now. I'm like, is this any good? Like, is this where the way it sounds? Is this how it should be? And yes, they're lovely critics. Very, very helpful critics.
I love that they're lovely critics because they realize, you know, that you're still mom, absolutely. So in writing the characters, one of the things you talk about, and this is a huge part of the book, so I want to make sure people understand Wild Ride, is you talk about search and rescue team SAR and the consequences, the real-life consequences for the characters' decisions, right?
Right. Search and rescue teams are a huge part of recreational type stuff in Canada because we have such a broad covering of geographical types. We have mountains and oceans and rivers and plains and snow and tundra and trees. And I mean, you do have that across the United States as well. You also have the population to back it up. The population is a lot sparser in Canada. So when people love their recreational sports and a lot of extreme sports here, that these teams are available and most of them are volunteers, surprisingly. They put their lives on the line to save people in some of the most extreme and dangerous situations that a person can find themselves in. And usually it's something that despite being well prepared or experienced, you can still get yourself into a load of trouble. And these folks will be there and work as a team and help you out and do their absolute best to aid you in a really awful situation.
Ugh. I like how you said it, in an awful situation. So how do you find the subject and hone it in and know, oh, this novel's something? We already talked about your kids, and we talked about what they think now. But when you were writing this and pulling this together, how do you draw that story together, especially in an era of social media?
Oh, my goodness. That is a tough one. When when I started this, this book sat around with me for a little while and bubbled around for a little while. So I had it a few years back, before, I have to say, social media had snowballed into the type of juggernaut that it is now. And just trying to figure out the topic of interest. I know it's, even then I looked back at the type of books that were out there for teens and thought, what would interest them? I mean, we know about the young romance ones and, all the vampire novels and all that. Those are kind of exciting things and supernatural type stuff. And I was thinking, well, there's a lot of, when I look at Canadian kids, a lot of those kids really enjoy the outside. There's a lot of skiers here. There's a lot of skateboarders. There's a lot of backcountry hikers. There's a lot of snowmobilers. And, I think that even underneath all that notion of screen time, these kids still love being outside. And I always thought of my kids, if they had a choice, they would go outside. And so that kind of led me to, I think I need an outdoors kind of theme. And I think I need something that represents the kind of environment that we live in. And we live in, well, I'm a prairie girl, but close to us, just within driving distance, there are a lot of forested areas. There are mountains. There are things that people flock to around here to do outside outdoor activities, horseback riding, hiking, everything. And I thought, you know, people still enjoy that, especially teens still enjoy that. They're active, they're outside. Now, what can I do to put that topic together and make it exciting for them? And so, you know, what's better than, you know, somebody getting into a little bit of danger outside in the outdoors where there is not the notion of urbanism or anybody right there to help you. So that's how it all came together.
Oh, that's brilliant. Of course, and we're talking about A Wild Ride. You can get it on Amazon.com. We're talking to Shalene Ramsahoy, the best name ever. Ramsahoy! But anyway, so I bet you have another book in you and you want to write another book. So are you working on that? Are you working on another story?
I do have another story in my head. I was trying to do something a little bit different. And so I'm in the process of going through, I honestly went back to all those lessons from the previous course that I took to write the first one to take another look at how would I write something different? How would I write something still appealing to a sort of a teen audience, but in a different place maybe. Maybe not so much Canada. Let's look around. My family loves to travel, and we have some family in the Caribbean, and I'm kind of leaning towards trying to write one from that perspective, but I need a little bit more historical background. So I'm playing around with some research and playing around with some ideas, and mostly it comes down to, okay, you have to be serious about the time you set aside to write this. It's like working out. You have to set it aside. Because if you just think about it, you won't do it. So that's kind of where it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect place to end this. We look forward to that. Pick up A Wild Ride. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.